Right. Good evening, that's very nice seeing everyone. We are looking at a discourse which the Rebbe said in 1988. And the same as this week, there was a double sedra, Acharei Mot and Kedoshim. And so we are going to look at the first of these verses, and then we'll find the discourse, and we'll have the melody of the mimer. So let's first see the first of these verses. One second. So we're going to right. Okay, so the first verse, the key verse, which this discourse focuses on, in our Sedra, the first half or more of there's a double Sedra. So the first half of the first Sedra concerns the service in the temple on Yom Kippur. And it goes through all the details, what happens, how the high priest enters the Holy of Holies, and so on. And then at the end of it, it says that this should be, it then gives the date of in the year, V'hayta lechem l'chukat olam, this should be an eternal statute, b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, that's the seventh month, Tishrei, Be'ezor lachodesh, on the 10th of the month, that's the date of Yom Kippur, ta'anu et nafshatechem, you should fast, v'chol melacha lo ta'asu, you shouldn't do any work, ha'ezrach v'ager ha'gor b'tochechem, the citizen and the proselyte. Now here's the key verse, ki v'yom hazeh, because on this day, yechaper alechem, God will atone for you, letai etchem, to purify you, Mikol chatotechem, from all your sins, lifnei Hashem titaru, before God you will be purified. So the key concept is this, before God. And what exactly does that mean? The normal way of understanding before God, of course, is, you know, God is there and we are here, and so we're in front of God. But here it looks at it in a different way. And that's what we're going to explore in the discourse. So let's stop sharing while I find the discourse. And meanwhile, we have the Maima melody. Oh, Right, so here we have Kivayom. So this is a discourse that was said on the Shabbat of Acharei Mot Kedoshim, which is the same sedra we have this week. Only in terms of the date of the month, that was approximately a week later. It was the 13th of Iyar, which happens to be the yahrzeit of the Rebbe's brother. He had a brother, Yisrael Aryeh Leib, and that is his yahrzeit. And this was said in Tavshim Memchet, 5748, 1988. Because from this day, God will atone for you, letai etchem, to purify you, lifnei Hashem titaru, before God, you will be purified. Now, umavoa al zeh bilikutei Torah parshatenu. So the Rebbe turns to Likutei Torah, which is a large volume of Hasidic teachings of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the first Chabad Rebbe, and it's called the Hasidische Parsha Shel HaShavuot. This is the Hasidic Seder of the week. That's the Seder of the week in the Torah scroll, and there's the Seder of the week in Likutei Torah. And it says there, very striking statement, that before God you'll be purified. That means higher than the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Tetragrammaton, and we normally just call it Hashem. In Chabad, there's a custom to call it Havaya, which is a sort of anagram of the same name. The spelling changed, Hey Vav Yud Hey instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And we're allowed to pronounce this. It means existence as a word in itself. And so when it says before God, so before Yud Kei Vav Kei, it explains in Likutei Torah that means higher than Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now that's a striking thing, and that is what is going to be explained now. Or maybe Bezeh, and it explains there. The Inyan HaTshuva, the concept of repentance. Yom Kippur is all about repentance. And the word tshuva literally means return, as indeed does the word repentance. Hu la'hashiv nafsho elokit is to make one's re divine soul return limakor chutzva, to the source from which it was hewn, so to speak. Kamosha haita, the way the soul was, Kodem ha'ishdalshalut, before the downchaining, the yiridat ha'madregot, and the descent of the different levels, le'olam hazeh, into this world, le'hitlabesh, to be enclosed, beguf ha'adam ha'gashmi, in the body of a physical human being, she'az ha'ita klula bimkorav v'shorsha d'chol almin, because before the soul undertook this long descent process to come and be in our body, before then, the soul was absorbed in its source, the root of all the worlds, Or Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the radiance of the infinite. So there we have this idea. It's not so easy to draw a diagram here, but if we can imagine that at the highest level is the radiance of the Ein Sof, the radiance of the infinite, and then we have different levels of the downchaining of worlds, and then we have finally this physical universe that we're in and our physical world, and we are here in this physical world, but the soul that is within us, which is sacred, originates on the very highest level. It originates before the worlds, and so it originates at that very highest level. And so the process of tshuva, the process of repentance, is reconnecting our soul with its highest point of origin. And the point, what he emphasizes later on, is that given that the soul had this very exalted point of origin before we were born, but then we were born and the soul comes down and it's there in our physical body and we go through life and we do some positive things, maybe God forbid, a few negative things as well, such as life. Ein Adam asher lo yechtod, there's no one who doesn't sin a little bit in some way. And so the soul is dragged down into this low level of our physical body here in this world. But when we say that the soul is going to reconnect with its infinite divine source beyond the world, we don't mean, God forbid, that the soul is going to leave the body and go back to its source beyond the world. But while it is in the body, at that same time, it is going to connect with its infinite source, which is beyond the world. And that's the process of tshuva. That's what it means here by repentance, tshuva. And that has the effect of purifying the soul and taking us beyond any kind of negative business we might have got involved in while our soul is here in the world. which it's the nature of the world to drag us down in various ways, but because through the process of repentance, especially the repentance on Yom Kippur, we are reconnecting or connecting the soul above to its original source, that achieves purity for the soul. Ela, except Shala'acha yiridata v'hishtalshalut hamadregot, the soul, after it came down through those different levels, nishtanta mimahut v'mahut, it changed from one quality to another. V'yarda litlabesh v'guf adam, and it descended in order to be enclosed in our bodies, the body of a human being, ba'olam hazeh, in this world. That's why we have to reconnect the soul above to the point that it originally came from. To elevate the soul to God, so that it cleaves to the living God. That it should again be absorbed in the radiance of the infinite the way it was at the very beginning. So that's the process of tshuva. The soul comes down into the world. In various ways, it gets defiled by the world, but the process of repentance is that the soul reconnects above, even though at the same time it is within us as our life-giving soul. Now, V'yeshlama, and one can suggest, says the Rebbe, that what it explains in this discourse, in Likutei Torah, in this discourse of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, inyan atshuva, that the nature of repentance, who is lahashivet nafsholim korah, to make the soul return to its source, its root, ugam bichdei levaya, is also in order to explain Matan, what it says here in that discourse, which we quoted already, tshuva, concerning repentance, lifnei Hashem titahu, lifnei havaya titahu, before yud kei vav kei, you will be purified, which means lamaila mishem, higher than the tetragrammaton canal, as we mentioned above. Because what it says in that discourse, that the source of the soul is in the radiance of the infinite, may it be blessed. Yesh lomar, one can suggest, that what is meant here, we're talking about the radiance of the infinite, which itself is higher than the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now that might sound rather mysterious. He's going to spell it out, but if I can just say it in brief, the cosmology, the spiritual cosmology here described, is that we have the radiance of the infinite above, then we have the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the tetragrammaton, then we have the name Elohim, and then we have the world. So you see, there are different levels. Elohim is the aspect of the divine which gives life to the world. Yud Kei Vav Kei is higher than that, but it's still involved with the world. And then on an even higher level is Or Ein Sof, it's the radiance of the infinite, which is beyond the world completely. And so when we talk about reconnecting the soul with its source, this discourse is explaining that that connection is to a point of the divine which is completely beyond the world. Now, so there we had it, that the soul reconnects to a level in the radiance of the infinite, shelamayla, higher than the tetragrammaton. Since the concept of repentance, tshuva, ulahashiv et nafsho, is to return the soul, limkora, to its root, source and root, nimtza, that means atshuva, that the idea of repentance, hashivat is to connect the soul at a point which is higher than the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And that's why it says here, when it's talking about repentance, lifnei Hashem, before God, before Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, meaning before, as it were, vertically before, higher. Ki ha-tshuva hi ha-shavat ha-nefesh, because repentance is the soul returning the maila mishem havaya to a point which is higher than the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Okay, so let's just stop for a moment and see if everyone is on board. Are there any questions, any problems? Nope. Right. Okay. Everyone's okay.
I just wrote a sort of a thought question.
Let's have a look at your question. I can't. God's awe is beyond worlds. I can't actually read it. Do you want to say what it is, Afia?
Yeah, no, what I was trying to say is, from what I was getting from what you were saying, I see it's a bit mistyped. God's so God's essence, God's awe is beyond words. So you're saying that there's a level higher than the Tetragrammaton, and the impression that you gave me for the soul to then connect and get redemption is the soul has to connect on a conceptual level, because it's beyond linguistics. It's beyond words. It's higher than the actual word itself. So it's almost like you're tittering towards Ein Sof.
Yes, you're right. It is beyond words. You
And
see, words
when you're in a
manifest
shema,
at a lower level.
so when you're in a shema, enters that domain, that dimension. You words are irrelevant, because it's it, you, you the a picture's worth a thousand words. So when you're thinking on a and when you're soul's connecting on a conceptual level, you're taking in so much bigger information, I guess. And
I'm not sure if conceptual level is the right concept, because conceptual level means understanding, and we're really talking about beyond understanding. You see, the soul's source in God is beyond understanding.
where would this be on the tree, or where you see all the different
Well, the level
sefirot?
of Keter.
Keter,
Yeah.
Shkoyah.
Okay. So let's go back. Now, actually, I want to refer to a prayer. So let's just see if we can do that, because I did find this before. So we're going to, this is the Chumash we were looking at before, and here is a prayer. Now, this is, I believe you can see it now, this is part of the daily prayers. Right at the beginning of the prayer book, Elokai, my God, neshamash natata, be the soul that you gave me, tohorahi, it's pure. Atavarata, you created it. Now that's using the word bara, creation. Atayatsata, you formed it. Atanafachta, be you blew it into me. And you keep it, you guard it within me. Now let's just go back to this. So you've got the soul, which is pure. And if we think of the four worlds, so there's the highest level. And then we have Brata, which is creation, Briya, the world of creation. Then Atayatsata, which is like the world of formation, you formed it. And then we have the idea, you blew the soul into me, that we are in the world of action here in this physical world. So it's this passage that is going to be discussed in the next section of the discourse. So let's just see if we can find it in the discourse. Right. Obeya Inyan, and the explanation of this. The idea that the source, the root of the soul, is higher than the Tetragrammaton, than the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Who is the Hinei Anu Omrim? Now we say in the morning, ideally, as the morning prayers, Neshama Shenatata Bita Orahi. The soul which you put inside me is pure. Atav Rata, you created it, and so on. The Hainu, that means Shehaneshama Mitzad Atzma, that the soul in itself, he befinat Tahorahi, is on this level called purity. And purity, Shalamaina Me'atav Rata, it's higher than the level of you created it. The way it's looking at it here, it's higher than creation. V'hainu shebchina zu de tohorahi, because this aspect of the soul being pure, he bechinat elokut, is godliness, shelamayna mikol inyan, which is higher than any aspect of hitavut ha'olam, of the existence of the worlds. V'lo od, and not only that, Ela shehi gam lemaila, it's also higher, mibchinat ha'elokut hamahave et ha'olam. It's even higher than the godliness which gives life to the world. So we have the world, and the soul is higher than the world. Okay. But then we have the godliness which gives life to the world, and the soul is higher than that as well. Ubaze gufa, and when we're speaking about this level of godliness higher than the world, it's even higher than the highest level of godliness, hamahave et haolam, which gives life, which gives existence to the world. So now we're going to consider different levels of elokut, with different levels of godliness. Dihine be'elokut hamahave et haolam, in the godliness, which gives existence to the world. Yeshnan kama dargot. There are a number of different levels. Yeshna bechinat elokut. There is one aspect of elokut, hashayechet mamash leolam, which really has a lot to do with the world. Shehu bechinat shem elokim, and that is the name Elokim. That's a divine name. It's a name of God, but it's an aspect of God which is closely wrapped up with existence of the world. Or Kamosha Katub, as we see from the fact that the opening verse of the Torah is Bereshit Bara Elokim, in the beginning, Elokim, meaning God, created everything. So God is the force of creation, creating everything. In addition, what it doesn't mention here, but a well-known idea, is that this word Elokim, with a hey instead of the kuf is just so that we shouldn't pronounce it for nothing, is the numerical value is 86, which is the same as the numerical value of the word hateva, meaning nature. So this is an aspect of God which relates closely to nature, to the natural world, and it is, as it says in the beginning, God created. This is the word that's used. V'yeshna b'chinat elokut, then there's an aspect of the divine, that doesn't have so much to do with the world. It's not so firmly focused on the world. And that is the name Yudke Vavke. That's the tetragrammaton. Nonetheless, gam b'china zu, even this aspect, it does connect with the world to a certain extent, even though it's much higher than the name Elokim. Shaharei nikra havaya, because the very name, Yudke Vavke, havaya. Now the word havaya, you see the root of that word is existence. And the name Yudke Vavke, this divine name, which we're not allowed to pronounce, that name is actually a form of the verb to be. It's a form of the verb which means causes to be. He causes to be. And so the reason for this name, the meaning of this name, is al shem shemahave et ha'olam, is because it makes the world exist. So this name Yudke Vavke, just from the very fact of what the name is, means causing the universe, the worlds, to exist. And so that means this name has got a relationship with existence. It's higher than the name Elohim, which is completely enveloped in existence, but it still has a relationship with existence. And in fact, there's a verse, Uchtiv, and there's a verse which says, this is also at the beginning of Genesis, Bayom Asod Havaya Elokim Eretz v'Shamayim. On the day when God, meaning the Tetragrammaton and Elohim, using both those names, the day that he made earth and heaven. So that means, Sha'asiyat Eretz v'Shamayim, that the creation of earth and heaven, Shayechet lo rak l'shem Elohim, doesn't only relate to the name Elohim, the lower level, Elegan l'shem Havaya, but also to the higher level, the Tetragrammaton. So therefore we have the world in itself. We have the divine name Elohim, which directly gives life to the world and even has the same numerical value as the word for nature. And then you have the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is higher, but it is still the source of the existence of the world. And what we're saying, Umizenimsa, from this it comes out that Shezesha, that when we say that the soul, Shorsha, its root, is Bifchinat Tohorahi, is on the level of it is pure, higher than creation altogether. Shalamaila me'atavarata, it's higher than you created, as we saw in that prayer. Harizalamaila lohak me'olamatsmo. It means it's not only higher than the world, velohak mishem Elokim, and it's not only higher than the name Elokim, Ela shulamaila gam mishem havaya, but it's also higher than the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Ki gam shem havaya, because even the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, shayach le'inyan yitavud, has a relationship with existence. Now, this is really, if we just pause here for a moment and we just consider what we're learning, what we're reading, that the very fact that our mind is cast to this exalted level of its beyond existence, and it's like going up a ladder. There's existence itself, then there's the name Elohim. And we go, which gives life to existence. And then we go to an even higher level, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is higher than Elohim. And then we go to an even higher level, and that is the root of the soul. And when the soul connects at that level, that is the process of tshuva. That's the process of repentance. So that is a very, very beautiful idea. And if the discourse would stop here, if that would be the whole discourse, it would be a very, very beautiful and profound concept. What he's done, he's taken a line from this earlier discourse, which said that repentance means when it says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, you should be purified before God. Means your purification of the soul in repentance is at a point higher than the Tetragrammaton, so which is the way that the Rabbi Shneur Zalman's discourse explains the verse in our Sedra. And now we have, or the Rebbe has explained what it means higher than the Tetragrammaton and explained it in a very rational and meaningful way. That we are talking about these different stages, different dimensions of godliness, and tshuva, repentance, comes from being connected at the very highest level. Okay, so there's still more of the discourse to explore. Is there any discussion point at this moment? Rabbi Lou, would you like to make any comment? Would you like to make any comment, Rabbi Lou? If so, please unmute.
It's not necessary. It's just, everyone thinks always when you say Havaya, the Tetragrammaton, God's name, that's like the highest thing. And just it's here in the mind where you just said it, but it's saying that a name is still a manifestation. To us, it's like infinity of an infinity, but it's not the essence of God. It's God as he can be defined with a name. And we're talking here about going to the source and to the root, which means beyond the whole concept of a name, even the
Thank
essence.
you. Yep. Thank you very much. Yep. Okay, lovely. Right. Okay, so let's get back to the discourse. Right. Now, the Rebbe says, Ubeo, so explaining this more deeply. Hine yadua, it's known, sheshema havaya, that the tetragrammaton, the name havaya, hushema etzem, it's the name of the essence, vashema meforash, it's the express, the express name of God. It's like that very name, vashema miyuchad, and the ultimate name, that very particular name. This is an expression which comes from the Talmud. And so it's saying how important this tetragrammaton is, and that, of course, is why we don't express it. The high priest on Yom Kippur would say it in such a way that people heard it and they would bow down, prostrate themselves. So it's a very significant name. And these words that we've just seen, that it's the name of the essence, and it's clear in a spiritual sense and unique, that all expresses this tremendous power in the name. It's the highest name. In terms of names, it's the highest name. V'lechein tzarich lomar, so therefore we must say, Shema sheshem havaya, that the fact that this very exalted name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton, Shayach L'Inyan Itavut, relates to the whole idea of the existence of the world, Harizerak Mipneshu Shem Bilvad, is because it is name, only name, V'lo Ha'etzem, but not the actual essence. You see, it's the name of the essence, but it's not the actual essence. And because it's the name of the essence, so name is already something which is outside the essence. And because it's outside the essence, it therefore relates to the universe, which is, in a sense, outside the essence of the divine. And that's how we can understand the depth of this concept. The fact that the source, the root of the soul, Hu bifchinat tahorahi, it's on that level that's called it is pure. Shalamaila, higher than the tetragrammaton, higher than that name, Hashayach Litabut Haolam, which relates to the existence of the world. Kishoreshanashama, because the root of the soul, Hu ba'atzmuto yitbarach, is an aspect of the divine essence. Shehu lamaila mikol shemot v'giluyim, which means that the soul is higher. You see, the essence of the divine is higher than all names and all revelations. Higher than that is the essence. And as Rabbi was just saying, and the soul pertains to that level which is beyond all revelations and beyond all names. So if we are returning the soul to this profound, ultimate starting point, connecting it with that origin of the soul, we see that indeed it is beyond the name Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. Now, this concept, the idea that we connect the soul to its root. Hu inyan shel aliyah l'neshama. It's the idea that the soul is ascending, it's going higher. And the kudat habir, and the central point of this explanation. Shema shegam lifnei ze haita neshama mushreshet ba'atzmuto. Before this, before the person repented, before Yom Kippur, the soul originated being rooted in the essence of the divine. So, in fact, before the soul was born, there it was, rooted in the essence of the divine. That's the origin of the soul. So what is so special about what we're talking about at this moment? So that's what I tried to explain before. The way it was before is the way the soul is above, just pure and simple above, above the world. But if afterwards, that means when the soul has been born and it's in a body and it's gone through life in this world, experiencing all the ups and downs, the moral ups and downs, the spiritual ups and downs of this world, and then we connect the soul above, then that is phenomenal. Hakavanah bazeh, the meaning is, Hishagam kamosha neshama nimtzet lemata, is that also the way the soul is found here below, neshama melubeshet baguf, a soul inside a body, hinegam b'daga zu atzma, in this very level, here in this world, niya, we've achieved, has taken place, v'haruach tashuv el Elokim, the spirit returns to God, asher netana, who gave it. So this is a complete retranslation of this, not just of this verse, but of this entire concept. Because we would assume this idea that the spirit returns to God who gave it, we assume that what this means is the soul is no longer here and it returns to God in heaven. But what the discourse is emphasizing is that it's when we're here in this physical body, the soul is at the same time connected above on the highest level. By inyan hu, and what this means is, dinei inyan zeh shashavat ha-nefesh l'shosha, the idea that the reconnection of the soul to its root, na'aseh al yedei avodat ha-neshama lemata, comes about through the service of the soul below. That's fascinating. It's because the soul below undertakes what service it's supposed to achieve that it reconnects to its divine source, to its divine source beyond the world. Because what the soul is really here for is in order to make Hashem, for Hashem, a dwelling in the lower world. Because the whole concept of making the world into a dwelling for the divine, bli kol tzimtzumim, sorry, hu shegam b'tachtonim, I missed a line, hu shegam b'tachtonim, is that even in the lowest worlds, ya'ir atzmuto yitbarech, the essence of the divine should shine. Here, bli kol tzimtzumim, without any veilings or contractions, u'kamo shebedirat ha'adam kipshuta, using this word dwelling, like when a human being dwells in a place, a person acquires a home, and ha'etzem ha'adam da'ba dirazu, so the very essence of the person dwells in that home, and as it says elsewhere, the home acquires the characteristics of the person who dwells there. You go into certain people's home, you at once see their personality, as it were, because it's there in the furnishing, the books on bookshelves and the paintings on the wall there, or that shows you who the person is. Shegam b'tachtonim mitgale atzmuto yitbarech, that even in the lower world, the lowest world here, this revealed the essence of the divine, b'li kol tzimtzumim, without any contractions or veilings. U'kamo shekatuv, as it says about the time of Mashiach, v'lo yikanef od morecha, your teacher will no longer be hidden. U'mavua v'tanya, and it explains in Tanya and at length in other places, shelo yitkaseh mimcha b'chanaf u'lebush, God will not be hidden from you with any kind of garment or veil. V'al yedei avodah zu, and through this service, shaneshama mamshicha et atzmuto yitbarech lamata, that the soul draws down the essence of the divine below into the world. That causes the soul itself to ascend spiritually. That the soul is reconnected with its root in the essence, in the essence of the divine. Okay, so let's just stop there a minute. It's a very graphic image, because what it's saying, I just want to put the cursor there so I don't forget where we are. It's not moving the way I want. Never mind. It's a very graphic image. The soul, in some sort of veiled way, comes down into this world. And it there inhabits the body. And it's given the Torah, guiding it how it should live. And it has struggles with the animal soul and with other aspects of life. But it succeeds in its basic task, to some extent, of making this world into a dwelling for the divine. And that success enables the soul to achieve a new state, that even though it's here in this physical world, it is able to reconnect with its infinite source. And that means that the soul now, carrying out this service of making the world into a dwelling for the divine, that soul is at the same time connected above with the divine essence. And from this we understand that the fact that the soul goes back to its root is precisely when the soul, at the same time that the soul is enclosed in a body. Because the fact that the soul drew down the divine essence, it's drawing the divine essence into the lowest levels of our physical world. So also the reward, so to speak, the reward, which is owed to the soul, because of this service, is also similar to this, that the spirit returns to God who gave it, Gam biotalamata, when the soul also, and even when the soul is below in this world. So the soul in this world has scored in a tremendous way. And because of that, it is connected to the highest levels above. And that's when the soul is neshama melubeshet baguf, the soul which is enclosed in the body. So that's a very simple, you could say, and clear depiction of the service of the soul, coming from a very exalted point, in some sense being separated from that exalted level and coming down into the world. There are various Hasidic texts, including a song where the soul weeps, at going, descending all this way into our problematic world, filled with all kinds of negativity, but through the fact, what the discourse is telling us, through the fact that the soul makes this effort to transform the world around it through keeping Torah and Mitzvah into a dwelling for the divine, the soul is able to reconnect with its source, even while at the same time it is here in the world. And this is the ascent, which happens, which takes place for the soul, through the fact that it descends into the body. That even on that level, that the soul is below, enclosed in a body, it achieves, the spirit returns to God, who gave it, and it's connected at that exalted level. And in this ascent, this connection above, Yesh nam shnei inyanim, there are two concepts. Well, let's see what they are. Inyanecha, one of these ideas, shezeh shegam biyotam haneshama lamata, the fact that when the soul is below here in this world, it nonetheless cleaves to the essence of the divine, as we see in this verse that the spirit returns to God who gave it. This indicates how strong is the bond of the soul to the very essence of the divine. So even though the soul is down here, in our body, in this world, and with all kinds of different desires and limitations and things surrounding the soul, nonetheless, its goal is to be reunified with its source. That shows us the tremendous, tremendous bonding, the hitkashrut, that the soul has with its divine source. As it says in Tanya, and it actually there it's talking b'inyan achet, about a sin. A man is doing a sin. Someone is doing some transgression, God forbid. Shegam b'sha'at achet, what it says in Tanya is that at the very moment that the person is doing that transgression, ha'itah b'omnei yitbarach, his soul, that's the feminine here, it was in its faithfulness to God. The soul remained faithful to God. It was still connected or wanted to be connected. It wanted to be connected with God, even though it's stuck inside a person who is not listening to his soul and he's doing the very opposite and he's doing transgressions. Sha'omna and ito, these words, omna is like faith, and ito is with him, indicates tochefeit kashrut, the strength of the bonding that the soul feels. Shenisha gam b'shat hachet, even at the moment that the person is sinning. So where even when the person is sinning, the Jewish person is sinning in some way, their soul, God forbid, their soul is still connected with God and seeks God and wants to be connected with God. Shezeh shegam lemata na said, from the fact, and the fact that also below is achieved this, varuch tashuv lelokim, that the spirit returns to God who gave it, that shows how strongly the soul is bonded to God's essence. Okay, that's one of the concepts which he wants to bring out. The inyan sheni, and the second idea, shavodah now. Now this is very important. This beautiful service that we've been talking about up to now is all about the soul above, before it's born, the soul below, in the body, the soul achieving its task to make the world a dwelling for the divine, the soul reconnecting with its divine source, even while at the same time it's here below. But the second concept here is that all this, po'elet gam al haguf, it also has an effect on the body. And the effect on the body, it's not that the body dissolves away and becomes completely like nothing. It's the body remaining as the body. The body is there as a physical body with its physical appetites and its needs, and it needs this and it needs that, and it wants this and it wants that. The body, in its reality as a body, in real life, the soul has an effect on it. It achieves that the body becomes, I'll translate the Hebrew literally in a second, but I would say that the body becomes an expression of the soul. That's what's achieved. The body, which is a physical body with desires and reactions in this way, reactions in that way, the body becomes an expression of the soul. Now, the literal translation of these words, gufo tafel, the body is secondary, v'nafsho ikar, and the soul is primary. So that means if the soul is primary, the spiritual reality of the person is the primary reality. But then that flows down and is expressed through the body. That means that the body accords with that. It reflects it. It's not fighting against it. It accords with it and it expresses it. Right. So let's stop sharing for a minute and see if we have any comment at that point. So you see, now we've reached a new stage. We've reached a new stage where the soul is affecting the body. And so now this raises the question, what is really the highest goal? Is it soul by itself or soul with the body and acting through the body? And that's what the discourse is going to underline in a moment in the next and final passage. Okay, so it does that by looking at a verse and a theme. It's not just a verse in the second sedra, right? We have two sedras this week. One is Acharei, and that's where we got the first verse, and now the second one is Kedoshim, and we're going to look at a verse from there. This can be connected with what it says in the same book, Likutei Torah, in the Sedra Kedoshim, that's our second Sedra, on the verse, Ki tavo el haaretz, when you come to the land, unetatem kol etz ma'achal, and you plant a fruit tree. Now, what happens when you plant a fruit tree? Is that the first 3 years we cannot eat the fruit? It's what's called orla. This applies today as well. It's called a fruit tree planted in Israel and to some extent outside Israel as well. So the fruit tree, the first 3 years are orla, which means that they're forbidden to be eaten. The fourth year, the fruit is specially holy. And it's supposed to be taken to Jerusalem and eaten there, or it can be redeemed, and the redemption money can be taken to Jerusalem and used to buy food there. The only problem is one has to eat the fruit in a state of purity, and we can't do that nowadays, so it's a more complicated thing. But the fruit is in a different state to the way it was in the first 3 years. And so that's the fourth year. And then the fifth year, anyone can eat the fruit anywhere. Now, this is intriguing. And what this is saying, you see, if we take it that we're going from the lowest level up, that we've got the 3 years of orla, the 3 years of forbidden fruit, then the 1 year where the fruit has to be taken to Jerusalem and it can be eaten there, but it can't be eaten otherwise. And then we have the fifth year that the fruit can be eaten anywhere. Seems to imply that eating the fruit anywhere, in any situation, pure, impure, whatever you are, that's the highest level. In other words, ordinary life is the highest level, which is a fascinating teaching. And it's like what we just learned, that the ultimate is not just that the soul is. It's connected above in a very exalted way, but that the soul is able at the same time to feed into the body and make the body a reflection of the soul. And so that means that ordinary, and when we translate that into this next passage, which I'll go through more carefully in a moment, but I'm just looking at it in general terms, that the ordinary fruit, which doesn't have any rules, it's just the ordinary, any special rules, it's just the general fruit of the tree from the fifth year on. That is like a reflection of the spiritual and the holy. And so ordinary life in the most healthy and positive way becomes a reflection of the holy in very beautiful terms. All right, so now he's quoted the verse. And he says, so it's puzzling. Because the order of what happens is, to say, like the chaining of the worlds, but moving milamata lamaila, from below to above. Tchila, first of all, you have the 3 years when the fruit is arelim, which means you can't, arelim literally means uncircumcised, when you can't eat the fruit. Hubchinatsumara, and that represents that aspect of life that we have to turn away from, like the verse says, turn away from bad. So we have to turn away from that, and that's like the 3 years when the fruit cannot be eaten. Ubashanaharavit, then in the 4th year, it says that the fruit is Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. It's holy and it's something relating to praise of God. She'ochlo b'Yerushalayim, that he eats it in Jerusalem. Now, that is like, in terms of our daily life, that's dugmat achila b'Shabbat v'yontov. That's like eating on a Shabbat or a festival when it's bechinat aseh tov, when it's doing something positively good. The first 3 years were keeping away from bad. And the 4th year is doing something positively good, eating or doing whatever it is on Shabbat and Yom Tov, on the festival. Ve'eina muvan. Now the question is, Masha b'shana chamishit, that on the 5th year, there are no restrictive rules whatsoever. Mutar lo'ochlam b'chol makom. You can eat the fruit in any place, v'gam be'ofen shel chol, and in a weekday manner. V'adrabba, and in fact, most times, if you add up how often a person eats, most of the eating is done on weekday. But not on Sabbaths or festivals. And what this is saying is that the special quality of the 5th year and onwards is actually that that ordinary life is higher than the spiritual life before it. Because in that ordinary life, one is able to take ordinary physical things and reveal the holiness within them. That in all one's ways, one knows God. Now, this is a beautiful concept. It means that whatever a person is doing, one is able to know the divine through that action. Of course, the action has to be correct according to the Torah, but it also has to be inspired by the consciousness that we are connected in our soul to the very essence of the divine, and that flows through into us as physical human beings here in this world. And then here in this world, whatever we are doing, we are able to know God through that. And more than that, kol ma'aseich l'shem shamayim, that all your actions, now more than that in the sense of more accessible than that, that all your actions should be for the sake of heaven, that even though they are ma'asecha, they are your actions, gam k'shechaseh inyan da'eu, and one hasn't got the exalted consciousness that through them you know God, it's a more accessible, a simpler way of thinking about it, that we're doing the action and we are conscious in ordinary terms, let's say. We don't feel our body is a reflection of the soul. But nonetheless, what we are doing is for the sake of heaven. And even though it's a practical thing, we are doing it for the sake of heaven. And so, therefore, it's positive and spiritual in that sense, even though it hasn't got this sort of mystical dimension that the higher level had. Harehem l'shem shamayim, they're for the sake of heaven, ve'al derech hanal, as we mentioned, shepoel gam al haguf, it has an effect on the body, li'os, li'od gufo tafel b'nafsho. And that also is another variety of understanding that the body should be secondary and the soul should be primary. That means that the body becomes the reflection of the soul. So there are different modes of understanding them. The Hiratzon of be the will of Hashem. Well, 1 second, let's just see if we're all there. Any comments on that? No.
Very beautiful. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we're at the last passage of the discourse. Be the will of Hashem that through speaking about these things, we should come to keep the mitzvot connected with the land of Israel in practical fact. And that will be with the coming of Mashiach, when there will be the total wholeness of the land of Israel with all its inhabitants dwelling there, something that wasn't there in the time of the Second Temple and even the time of the First Temple. At a certain point, the 10 tribes went into exile, so there too, we had only a fraction of the Jewish people living in Israel. Whereas in the future, then we will all dwell there, presumably we'll all have an apartment there, even if we're doing things elsewhere as well. And especially that speaking about these things, this is the inwardness of Torah. And that is the inyan, that is the concept of hafatzat ha-mayanot, chutzah, the spreading, the bursting out of the wellsprings to the outside. Shezel, that is that the discourses that we spoke about from Rabbi Shneur Zalman, which also is, by the way, the Rebbe explains, there's a commentary by his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, and also recently by his son, the Mittler Rebbe. So there are various further explanations of the Rebbeim on this. And that week, when the Rebbe was speaking, was close to Lag BaOmer. And so he speaks about that day of Lag BaOmer, which is the time when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. It's the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We are not yet there. It's gonna be later. And so that the idea of Lag BaOmer is the very theme of the inner dimension of Torah, and so there is the tremendous joy which is there, and this is a joy which goes beyond any limitation, and through this we will come Geula Amitit v'Hashlemah to the true and complete redemption, v'Simchat Olam al Rosham, and eternal joy on their heads.
Amen.
Thank you very, very much for joining. Thank you.
It's a